Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of You Missed It. Today we're going to, it's my pick again, and we're going to, since Halloween's around the corner, I decided to pick a horror film for today. I believe Zach has the next pick for on, around closer to Halloween, so he'll have that one. Today I picked Psycho 2. Psycho 2, of course, is the sequel to the Hitchcock classic from 1960, directed by, well, Hitchcock, of course. Before I like to get started, though, I wanted to give a quick shout-out to a local band named The Vitos. They were kind enough to lend us their song Car Trouble for the opening and closing of our show. So anyone who wants to check out, hey, where's that awesome song from? Well, check out The Vitos. They're on Facebook. They're on YouTube. They're on, just look them up on Google. You'll find them. Really great band. Definitely check them out. But anyways, on with the show. Now, Psycho 2 was released in 1983 by Universal Studios, 3 years after Hitchcock died, so it almost seems like they were waiting for him to die to do it. You know, it took movies like takes place 23 years after the original one, so it's like, about time, let's get on with this. Now, what most people don't know is there actually was a novel written in 1982 called Psycho 2 that was written by the original author of Psycho, and they have nothing to do with each other. This movie and that book are completely different. Like, the quick synopsis of the book is Norman Bates is still in a insane asylum, and he escapes from prison because he found out that there is a movie crew making a movie about him, and it pisses him off. So he escapes to kind of take down the movie people. So it's almost kind of like Scream 3 before.
Yeah, it's like meta. It's like Halloween and Scream combined.
Yeah, it was one of the first kind of like meta-ish kind of horror books, I guess, within the film world. But I haven't read that book in a long time, so that's the most that I can remember.
Oh, you actually read it?
I own it, yeah.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, no, I have the. I don't have the first book, though. But yeah, it was pretty decent. Yeah, luckily enough, yeah. But anyways, the Psycho 2 was released in 1983 by Universal Studios. It was directed by Richard Franklin, who I looked him up. I didn't recognize anything else this guy did. He's some Australian director, so I don't know. Nothing stood out, so I guess this is his one and only major Hollywood opus. But it was written by Tom Holland, who was famous for writing and directing Fright Night and Child's Play.
Mm-hmm. And starring in Spider-Man.
Yep, that too. I don't even think that kid was I don't even think he was alive.
Is he? No. That's like, he's, what is he, like 21?
Dude, he's,
that's
he's
quite
actually
the impressive
really
resume.
Young.
Yeah. He wrote it as a fetus.
Yeah.
That's how much talent
he's, he's talented, I told you. That's why I was so excited when he was cast as Spider-Man.
Yeah. This movie was made on a budget of $5 million, and it actually grossed over $34 million. Yep. Funny enough, more than what the original Psycho made. Though that's not taking into account inflation or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But still, it did fairly well. It was one of the top summer grossing movies of the year. It was trailing Return of the Jedi. The movie, of course, so the top two movies of summer of 83, Return of the Jedi and Psycho 2.
It's funny.
Yeah. The movie stars Anthony Perkins returning in his
fame.
Well, Andrew, he is this actor who starred as a young Norman Bates in 1960. He was also in The Trial with Orson Welles and a few other things, but he was typecast.
Oh, is he Norman Bates from that show, Bates Motel?
No, that's Freddie Highmore.
I don't know who that is, but
he was in Finding Neverland, and he was also in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, don't you know?
And another really good film that I can't remember right now, but he plays a twin brother. Anyways, really good.
Freddie Highmore?
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Fuck, what was that movie called? That's going to bug me. I don't know. Anyways.
We'll find out the
end of
this
episode. If I think about it, I'll yell it out randomly.
It also stars a returning Vera Miles, reprising her role as Lila Loomis this time, not Lila Crane. She has since, basically, she married Marion Crane's lover from the first one, which when you think about it, it's a little weird. Married her sister, dead sister's boyfriend. That's always lovely.
Where was she? Sorry, just like a random aside, because I totally forgot, but where, like, when did she show up in the original film?
The
like
sister?
The first film.
Yeah. Oh, right after the shower scene.
Yeah.
When it cuts after the, he puts the car in the bog and all that, and it cuts back to the boyfriend, and her sister's coming by. It's like, where is she? Where is she? And then the private detective shows up.
Oh, that's probably why it wasn't super memorable.
Yeah, she was the one who like finds the corpse.
Yeah.
In the, so she actually
she's like the final girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she had a big role in that one, and it was kind of cool seeing her back in this one.
Cool.
And then also stars Meg Tilly as a young Mary. She is more famous for being sisters with Jennifer Tilly.
Yes.
Who you would recognize her voice. She's Joe's wife from Family Guy, you know, the pregnant one. Mm. That's and she was also in Bride of Chucky.
I was just about to say, yeah.
She was
she's
bride.
Great in that, actually.
She has that really high voice.
Not to mention she is Amy from Chasing Amy.
Nope.
No.
No?
No.
That's
Jori Lorraine Adams.
There you go, yeah.
That's a completely different actress.
Oh, my God. I totally
you owe everyone an apology.
She's also an SFW.
I apologize to everybody. But what am I thinking? Yeah, what else am I thinking of, then? Because I know that name. But
Jennifer Tilly.
Because they both have, they got, because Jori Lorraine has the kind of a high-pitched
Yeah, they both kind of high-pitched voices. It's just a coincidence. You're just confusing voices.
All right, I apologize to everyone.
Kind of like Norman Bates.
A little.
And his
there
mother.
You go. Nice to go. And,
nice
the
recovery.
Other, and then lastly, the other known actor in this movie is Robert LaGoya. Or he was most. He also starred in another Universal movie that came out the same year, which was Scarface. Mm-hmm. He was also in Independence Day and a few other ones. There you go, Andrew. But anyways, Psycho 2, for those who don't know about it, it is takes place 22 years after the original movie. And Norman Bates has been released from the mental institution, returning home to try and live a normal life. However, even with a new job and even meeting a new friend, his troubled past begins to haunt him once again, and Mother doesn't seem too far behind. So I'll just give you my kind of quips and what I thought about this movie. I've seen it the most out of everyone at this table because I'm such a huge fan of the very first one. And it's nowhere near as good as the first one. I think that goes without saying, except unless you're Quentin Tarantino.
Yes.
Apparently.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He likes
Yeah, he likes this movie more than the first one. So it's like, all right. I think when given the, you know, the pressure of making a Psycho sequel, I think it's honestly one of the best. It's pretty damn decent for what it could have been. Like, I've seen the other sequels, and they're not that good.
No one was asking for it.
Yeah. And honestly, like it kind of what it I think what it achieved well is that it did kind of keep you guessing about what is actually happening. Like, because the audience, this movie kind of plays with the audience expectations because they've seen Psycho. It's so famous. It's so ingrained in the head. Even showing like reshooting certain moments almost like the first movie to kind of toy with the audience, like, oh, this is about to happen again, you know. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. It kind of. It's unique how it makes the almost main antagonist in the first one the most sympathetic character in the whole movie. And I think that was pretty neat. But overall, I kind of want to hear what everyone else thinks about this movie. I'm really curious what y'all have to say about this movie. But overall, I like it. I think it's a decent movie. I'm going to go with go to my left and start with Rylan. What did you think of this?
Oh boy. I can say there's a lot of crazy stuff in this story, but I wasn't really crazy about the film overall. I mean, was it as bad as it could have been? Obviously not. There were definitely some very entertaining moments, funny moments, but I don't think they were trying to be funny. And the way that it took pretty much every opportunity to remind you, oh hey, this is a Psycho sequel. Like the very first scene or the very first thing we see after the Universal logo is the replay of the shower scene from the first movie.
Yeah.
And later on they go on to recreate that shower scene almost shot for shot with a different girl. I'm like, okay, that was great. You're overly obnoxious twice now, and also you have the peephole scene. You had a car getting dragged out of the swamp scene. You had all like the little clips of Mother's nightgown and holding the knife in a way that nobody actually holds a knife, but just all like the little snippets of the imagery that you were expecting to see, I guess, probably paying to see. I do agree that they did make Anthony Perkins did a good job of making the character somewhat sympathetic. It's like I did feel for him, especially at the beginning of the movie. You get the feeling like he's trying to live a normal life, but I mean, who knows what kind of he didn't really have very much of a support system in place. I know they made an offhand mention about cutbacks and not having a trained social worker to follow you around, but like, you know, how about some like supervised immersion therapy or something before you just get left alone in a trigger hive for like the rest of your life. I mean, I'm no doctor, but something smells fishy there.
Yeah, there's a few lapses in judgment with certain things. Like, I don't think any...
I mean, that's quintessential to any horror film, yeah. I imagine, because most of the deaths in these types of movies wouldn't happen if the characters weren't complete idiots.
Well,
so,
I wouldn't
like,
say the death.
For story purposes, yeah. That's kind of a given. But, I mean, I did like to see that trope subverted with the girl character, Mary, though, because at first she did just seem like another, like, stupid, oblivious victim, and then it's like, oh, okay, but she's actually... spoiler alert, she's actually messing with him with her mother, played by Vera Miles, in this case, who was the sister of Marion Crane, who we were so eloquently reminded was stabbed to death in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you right up front. The one thing I do hate about this movie, probably more than anything, is the fact that they just re-show the first shower scene in the beginning of the movie. But
well, because they were gonna do it because they did it again later. It's like, okay, you do one or the other, but it's like,
well,
you get
no, they didn't follow through with the whole shower scene. The second one was,
I know,
sort
but
of
they set to, it up like exactly
but
the
that's
same.
The point I think and as it, a hold on like, as I was saying, like my point where they would show reenact certain things, mm-hmm. to kind of play with the audience because it's what they're expecting.
Yes,
you know. And I feel like that a lot of that was sort of, you know, I don't think it was really heavy-handed. I think it was just to subvert our expectations, what we were supposed to get.
No, see, I just found it more annoying, though. It was like, if I wanted to watch the first Psycho movie, I'd be watching that.
But that's the remake.
Hmm? Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone's claiming that the remake needs to surface from the rock that
no
it's been
but that one
under.
Is a literal, like, you know, shot for shot, yes. Where I feel like this one, it was done on purpose.
Yeah, there's a reason behind it.
It felt like it was because you playing with your expectations. I definitely felt that.
I don't know, it just felt really kind of haphazard and more sloppy to me than anything. The dialogue, I was not impressed by any of it. I thought the writing to be very flat, very bland, unimaginative. Anthony Perkins was really the only one who was actually able to bring any life or emotion into that for me. I enjoyed Mary as like a character concept, but the actual delivery, actual portrayal, I found is really bland, one note, kind of a wasted opportunity there.
One of the reasons I think to kind of go, I will agree with you though that the I think the showing the shower scene in the beginning, the famous shower scene in the beginning of the movie, I think kind of helps strengthen your argument where it's just repeating certain things again, because they literally just showed you the first scene, which I kind of take, funny enough, actually watching a bunch of Friday the 13th movies back to back to back, and now seeing this, it just seemed like it was a horror movie trope to do a recap at the beginning of the
movie. I was gonna say it felt very previously on.
Yeah, and Universal Studios, of course, they released this movie. Of course, they're famous for their movie monsters: Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Mummy, and they released sequel after sequel, and all their sequels had almost like recaps previously type of thing.
Yeah, but the your actual first scene is in a courtroom, so basically exposition central, right there. You're able to safely bring up all of the information that you could possibly want in that setting. It was really not necessary. Just a little ham-fisted.
Yeah, no,
the
whole shower scene in the beginning, I didn't think you needed that at all. I think it actually kind of cheapened the movie, I think, more than it was supposed to. I think it was just there just to kind of bait an audience in, like, oh, remember this? And now here's
That's a good way of putting it, actually, I think, is cheapening the movie. Because, like I said, Anthony Perkins gave a good performance. I liked Vera Miles when she was on screen, which was not very much. I liked the look of the film. I liked the shooting. I loved the use of color, which was something that the first movie didn't have an opportunity to use. But, yeah, I just felt like it was weighed down by all of these, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudges back to the first movie and all these other horror movie cliches that were, like I said, were funny and for entertaining, but for probably the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it sounds like I hate this movie, and I don't, but I would be very curious to see how this movie would have turned out if Hitchcock had been able to make it, because as a concept, it's not terrible, and I would have liked to see it in executed in better hands.
Cool. Zach, what did you think of this? You're the only one who has seen this before, but
yeah.
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you think Psycho 2 compares, say, to other horror sequels, to famous original like masterpieces, like in terms of like Exorcist or Halloween or even other famous horror movies? How do you think as a sequel does it hold up?
Well, it depends on what you mean by sequel, because that's a bit complicated. Because do you mean the direct one right after number two, or are you talking about in general?
We'll keep it simple. We'll go the direct one.
Okay, well then, yeah, then this is typically, I would say, because, well, just to tell you straight up, like, I actually really like this movie, and I'd seen it before, so if I, you know, when you told me you were picking Psycho 2, if I didn't like it, I would have been like, don't do it,
it ain't
worth it, but no, I actually really like it, and I mean, to go with that question, I mean, I think it's better than most, because I think a lot of direct sequels, you know, they're great if they're okay, you know what I mean? Like, if they're somewhat bearable, then it's like, oh, awesome, like, you didn't, like, completely shit the bed.
Basically, yeah, you judge it by sequel standards. I think the bar is automatically a little bit lower.
So if it's anything better than that, it's like, holy shit. And that's why, like, this movie, it's, I do really like it. And the thing I like about this movie a whole lot is the, just the idea that you take this, like, menacing character from the first one. I mean, it ends on such a terrifying note. And just, like, the look he gives, like, at the end of the film, like, that's what you're left with at the end of the first Psycho. And now it's, like, you're with him, and he seems, like, kind of like a normal guy and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, he's a little unhinged and things like that a little bit. But he seems like, you know, a guy recovering and kind of trying to get back to his regular life a little bit. I know that that was a neat perspective to do with, like, this villain, you know, in the previous film, right? Like, and for a while, you almost are kind of like, oh, like, maybe they'll go all the way, and maybe, like, they'll somehow make him a good guy or something, or just a regular dude. And honestly, that would have been kind of interesting, too, just on a side note, if they did go that direction, where, like, all along, like, no, he was just this guy, and, like, he's recovered and all that, if they kind of went, you know, kept going with that route.
Yeah.
But honestly, even though they went with the whole, like, oh, you know, bringing him back to his, you know, mantle type thing by the end, spoilers, it was just really neat with all the twists and things like that. I remember seeing it for the first time, and, like, it, like you said, it keeps you guessing, right? There's so many different things, and it's like, even if you guess the first one somehow, or it's like, oh, they're in the house playing with them, you know, there's, like, that whole other thing towards the end, and and then there's just his own sanity too, which is legit, and but you don't know if it is, and there's just a lot of cool things. And I like how I kind of disagree a little bit with what Rylan was saying with the fact that it kind of rips off, because it does do things like dragging out of the swamp. It does do things, you know, that you've seen in the previous movie, but I think it's obviously, like, not only to play with your expectations, but also it's to repeat habits. And since it was kind of in his unconscious mind, like he said earlier in the film, like, oh, he'd black out when it would happen and stuff, he doesn't remember, and so it would make sense if he killed again, he would, like, repeat habits, he'd dump him in the swamp, he would do things like that. So I think it's kind of cool that they went back and hit those beats from the original film, and then went, like, oh, it was, you know, either the same thing or something different, and yeah, and they kind of twisted it up, you know. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I agree with you for the most part on there. Yeah, no, I think a lot of those were, again, they were almost showing you what you would think you would get out of a Psycho sequel.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's just going to revert to most stuff. He was the killer the whole time. Again, you know, real, I think really cheap, lazy writing there.
Yeah.
I do see where Rylan is coming from with the dialogue, though. It is a little simple. It's a little like an actor needs to deliver this well in order for it to come across as, you know, a human being speaking this. So I think it does work with Norman Bates, because he's a little on edge. He's a little stuttery.
Yeah.
So it works for him. But with everyone else, yeah, I kind of see that.
I didn't mind the Mary character either, though. Yeah. I thought she was good, too. I like those two a lot.
Yeah.
Everybody else, sure, but then again,
they're
very
the outside,
side characters.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I did like that guy, the old manager, too.
Oh, the Mr. drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was hilarious.
The guy who kept
name
dropping. Yeah, the guy who kept name dropping the movie. You psycho!
Yeah, and I was...
Because I don't think that word was ever said in the original movie, so he's flat out... He's saying that, psycho, psycho, psycho!
But I like that, too, because, like, just even saying that, it almost strikes a bigger chord. I mean, when he would say, like, you psycho and stuff, it, like, almost has a double hit where it's like, oh, yeah, you can imagine how it's hitting him, but it almost hits you, too, where it's like, it's at a good point where it's, because you're, at this point, you've had a few minutes with him, and it's like, oh, he's this normal guy, he's cooking, he's, you know, doing all that, and, you know, you psycho, and it kind of, like, registers a little bit back. You haven't completely forgotten, but it kind of hits home a lot more of, like, oh, yeah, like, that's right, this guy did all this stuff in the first film, you know? It was,
Yeah. Andrew, what did you think of this?
So I wasn't really expecting too much from it just because, I don't know, it's Psycho 2. It never was on my radar, right?
No one asked for it.
I went to go see Psycho in a theater because, oh, yeah, it's a classic. I got to see it at 35 and stuff, and I was like, this is really cool. And I loved it. It was such a cool experience for me, especially seeing it on film and everything. So after that, it felt like a very complete package for me. Seeing the first Psycho, it didn't feel necessary to move on from that for me. So I kind of just came in with like, I'm not really sure why this exists, right? So, but then I got to watch it now, and I really liked it, like, a lot. I listening to so far the opinion so far, I think I might like it the most, unless Jack's hard to tell.
Oh, he's,
like,
are you about to pull a Tarantino on us here?
No. So
hold on a minute.
So I was thinking that when you were mentioning that about how much I liked it, I was like, I'm not crazy enough to say it's better than the first Psycho, obviously. However,
it's really good.
Like, yeah. I am surprised at how much I liked it and how good it is. Because the first film just had it was suspenseful the entire way through. This had that. This absolutely did have that, but it was just so perfect, I guess. Like, it felt like it nailed everything constantly, except for the end, the very end, like the little exposition dump with the therapist, the first film.
Yeah.
So, but this one, it was consistent as well. But it was the sense of mystery. I love the premise. I thought the idea that kind of making Norman like a focal, like the kind of focusing in on him and making you question whether he might still be, you know, reverting back to his old self or if it's somebody else. The mystery was great. The premise of thinking of maybe making him a normal guy, or at least, yeah, making him seem like a normal guy in terms of the plot, was really good. I thought the acting was actually pretty good. I didn't think it was bad. It, like Zach was saying, because the line delivery was fine for me for Norman and Mary. Mm-hmm. And the other characters didn't really seem that important, at least for me. Like, they were on the outside, they were serving a purpose, and their line delivery was fine for that. It didn't pull me out of the movie in any way. Like, usually for me, when I would criticize something like a certain performance, it's because it drew me out, because I was just noticing what they were doing wrong. But I didn't have that with this film. Like, it was, they were there, they delivered whatever lines they needed to the outside characters, but the main focus, Mary and Norman, right? So I thought they did a good job. I thought it was shot well. Again, in terms of the shower scene, what we were talking about, I thought all the callbacks to the first one didn't cheapen it, just because it kind of plays with your expectations. Like, I was like, oh, are they gonna go this way again? Are they gonna do this thing? No, they didn't go the cheap route, and they used that on purpose to make me feel that way, to make me kind of go back and think, hey, are they just going to do some psycho stuff again? And I'm glad they didn't, because what they actually did was a lot more interesting, and I was involved. I was into the mystery. I liked it. I was wondering, guessing what was going on. I couldn't tell what was going to happen by the end of it. They still managed to surprise me here and there. Like, I thought, you know, to be honest, when I think we should just get rid of the idea that, like, everybody keeps saying spoiler, but this is just a spoiler cast. It's always going to be a spoiler cast.
Let's be real.
No, I just say it out of courtesy, you know.
You can't talk about
these and the drawing board, we're going to have like a spoiler segment at the end, but that went out the window pretty quickly.
No, it's so hard to give your opinion without mentioning.
Go ahead.
These are usually older films, so.
It's 20, we're about a good time into the podcast. I think spoilers is like, we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
Like, so, yeah, oh, lost my train of thought a bit there. No, so, yeah, I kind of dug that, like, at the end there, where he was, you know, saying, my real mother. I thought he was screwing with Mary. I thought for a while there, I'm like, oh, he must be, like, you know, he's upset that they were messing with him and he's screwing with them. Like, that's where my mind went. Mm-hmm. So I was still kind of surprised when I'm like, oh, for real? Mm-hmm. Like, oh,
oh, you mean
actually,
the real?
You're like, oh, this is actually true? And I kind of dug the ending. Like, I didn't like it as much as, obviously, original Psycho's ending, because that was such a great ending. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was pretty good. Like, for a movie that shouldn't have been, it had no right being as good as it was. And I thought, that's commendable. And I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I'm kind of, that's, I think that's a lot of everyone's sum up with the movie. For something that had, as you said, no real reason to be as good as it turned out to be, it was. It was like, oh, this actually was entertaining. It kept my interest. It wasn't stupid. Like, there's some parts you can go like, eh, whatever. But for the most part, yeah, no, it just... Yeah, it just really works well together for something.
I forgot to actually mention the best part of this film with the best character, and that was when they hear about the murder in the basement, and the cop asks the other cop, "Is it clean?" And he looks under the table and he's like, "It's all clean."
Yeah, A plus investigative work.
You know,
fantastic.
What? I think Hollywood hates cops just because they make them all so stupid. It's rare you actually find. That's why I love it when I find a smart cop in a film or like a film that does cops in an intelligent or real way, because it's like they're all so stupid.
Smart cops stop movies. So,
you're right.
They stop the bad guys. Yeah, it's not as much fun.
You have dumb cops. At least the movie can go on for another half an hour.
Yeah, it'd be over a lot sooner, I guess.
Alex, what did you think of this movie? And also, does this make you want to check out the other sequels?
I'll answer the second question first. Absolutely, it does make me want to check out the other sequels. Although I've heard they're not as good. Mm-hmm. So to anyone listening, disregard what I just said and go in with a clean slate.
I'm the only one who has seen the third one.
But even you have not braved the fourth.
Ooh. No, I haven't yet. But you know what? I kind of do lately. But
yeah, you
anyways,
really want to.
Yeah, I do.
And everything you said before Andrew and Zach got in, I agree with. It kept me entertained. It kept me in suspense. There was mystery to it. And the title itself, Psycho 2, to me it says they're obviously building off the fame, the success of the first one. But it's really hard to follow a guy like Hitchcock, because that's a huge name. Yeah. Like he brought so much to the table in terms of cinema and entertainment and making you think. And he dies in what, 1980? Yeah. So this movie comes out in 83. Immediately when I see those two numbers, I think this is going to be just a studio movie where they plunk in some no-name director and they go back to what they were doing in the first film, but they modernize it a little bit. And I will say that they did modernize it a little bit with at least two of the kill scenes with the death of Mary's mother. It reminded me of Friday the 13th.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, with that gratuitous knife through the throat.
Yep.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of that.
Over the top.
Yeah. It's like they're trying to marry the two. They're trying to marry the suspense of the first Psycho with the modernization of grotesque horror.
Which was huge at that time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It was just
slashers
up.
Were in and pretty much, like, the original Psycho is considered to be almost like one of the originators of the slasher genre.
Yeah.
And it's funny how Psycho 2, it takes these tropes that Halloween and Friday the 13th and all those other Black Christmas has taken and added the body count, where like the gratuitous slashings and all that. So yeah, no, I do definitely see your point on that one for sure.
And I can see why Tarantino liked the second one. Although the first one, I saw it so long ago, I can barely remember it. So I think it was nice to see the shower scene from the first film as the opening to the second film. I can't say, having seen it now, that it set the tone for the film, because the tones of the two films, the first and the second, are quite different, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But at least you get that refresher when you first see the black and white, and you see Janet Leigh and the mm-hmm. knife and the shower scene and the music especially. Yeah. So it helps to bring you back, but then it goes in a different direction, and the twists, the M. Night Shyamalan twists and turns that the plot took. Like when Mary and her mom are talking in the hotel office, that's when I really got into the film, because they started bringing a lot more into it. I thought it was just a by the numbers studio sequel that they wanted to just make a bunch of money off of. Yes and no, mm-hmm. but I think they brought a little bit more to it. And that's at that point in the film, that's where I really got into it. And then it started messing with me, like you said, Andrew, with Norman's real mom. Like the character is messing with the audience at that point, making them think of someone else and something else entirely. And all of a sudden you're thinking, well, what's going on? We thought it was Norman. Well, maybe now it's Mary and her mom, but what's this other thing that's going on? So it completely destroyed any idea I had of the whodunit.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Cause it kept pointing it in different directions, right? Like, exactly. You kept saying, what about this? What about that? And you're like, I don't know. So you're waiting for the movie to tell you.
Yeah, and in the first Psycho, when Hitchcock does his story, there's a certain way it goes. And once that film comes out, everyone can build off of that and use that to make their own little successful films. Mm-hmm. But after 20 years, you can't do that anymore. You have to go in an entirely different direction. You have to keep coming up with new stuff. Sure, you can draw the audience in by teasing Norman as going back to his old behavioral traits, but then you take it in a new direction, and you have to do that. Otherwise, you lose the audience, and the film sucks.
Yeah, if he kind of went with just the, oh, it was Norman again, and he's going to get committed again, that would have just felt like, oh,
then I am. That was the point.
Yeah. If you're going to end up in the same place where you started off, then there's no point to your movie at all.
Yeah, no, it does... kind of, it is interesting, like how, like, in a way, they end the main characters, funny enough, they do succeed in what they were trying to do.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's funny how much they screwed each other, you know.
Yeah, but it's like success and complete failure.
Yeah, all like mixed. It's so funny. It's almost kind of like a tragic story in a way, mm-hmm. with particularly with the Mary and Lionel Loomis character. Oh, yeah. With those two, it's like, you know, just especially with, you know, the how much Lila just went mad and all that, her pushing to get Norman instituted. And I love the cop saying, like, I don't know which one's... I love him saying, like, he may be crazy, but there's a whole lot coming up for second. And it's just like, Norman is just the one trying to be better, and yet everyone else around him is seemingly the crazy ones.
It's kind of messed up,
and then they start pushing him, and at first, you don't know, is Norman just, as you were saying, you don't know, is he screwing with them? Is he actually maybe have turned back? And it's just the consequence of, like, everyone, oh my God, we should not have done this, particularly with Mary's character. And she was interesting too, just like, you didn't really know, like with her character, it was just a unique scene, like someone obviously putting on a play, putting on a show. Mm-hmm. And I almost felt like her character was almost kind of acting like that in the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. where you kind of could tell, like, she doesn't seem acting like she's a normal human being, almost like she is doing scripted lines just kind of going with it. But then as the movie kind of played along, she started to sympathize more with him. You could sort of see her becoming a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more, you know, aggressive, less poised. And I think that kind of helped with her development a bit. And then when shit hits the fan at the end, it's just like, oh, crazy.
I actually love the whole premise too of Mary and her mother as well, like, you know, kind of trying to fuck him up too. Because the thing is that the other thing this film reminded me of is a lot of times when somebody, you know, basically causes a massacre, does this crazy crime, and they've done a bunch of time and they're coming out, you always hear that backlash, like, why are you letting them out in the streets again? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And it's kind of cool that it kind of puts you in that headspace of like, okay, we'll hang out with the guy for, you know, a little bit and kind of see his case. It's not always, he's just going to be a crazy guy and stuff like that, right?
Not everything's so black and white.
Exactly. So it's, and I kind of I remember that every once in a while, like, yeah, you hear about something in the news like that, and then it's just, it reminded me of this a little bit.
Which but they don't let the person go back to the exact same environment that made, from which they committed all the crimes again. Like, it's usually a pretty standard thing of, if you were this, you, like, if you were targeted a certain type of person, we'll keep you away from that, like, mm-hmm. we want to minimize risk. This is like the one thing I'll say mm-hmm. about this, like, which we already mentioned, like, incompetent cops. It was incompetent societal structures in general. Like, I think the film starts and he goes off about how we'd have some kind of a worker come in to check on you regularly, but we don't have the budget
cuts
or yeah. whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, for real, like, you're gonna let a serial yeah. murderer out, but you don't have somebody to check up on him, like, besides his therapist,
and
then
back.
You're gonna let him go back to the same place he murdered all, like, dude, yeah, they're incompetence at the highest level. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, basically just dumping him off. It's like, well, good luck.
Yeah.
he's like, call if you need anything. Yeah. Like, well, yeah. all right. If I have yeah. the urge to disembowel somebody, I'll let you know.
Exactly. If there's one thing that pulled me out, it, like, a little bit, not a lot. Like, again, I was still in it. But the one thing that kind of pulled me out a little bit was that. It's just like, incompetence at that degree does regularly pull me out of movies. So it is kind of shitty to see, like, all these idiots around them kind of going like, well, what's the worst that could happen, letting him yeah. go back to his mom's house? He yeah. even says at the beginning of the movie when they enter the house, he's like,
I can put
you know,
somewhere
are
else.
You sure? Like, you should be somewhere else, but, you know, like, this could start the visions again. Like, if you're a therapist, like, that should be one of your conditions of release when you're talking, like, hey, he can't go back to that environment. It could mm-hmm. bring him back to that headspace. It's all about mitigating risk, but they don't give a shit.
Yeah, I see it more as, like, no studio would ever make a psycho film unless it takes place at
I know, which is
yeah.
why I didn't
so,
go
yeah,
too
so,
much
I know,
into it.
I know, but it,
yeah,
it
okay,
is contrived.
You get
contrived.
The, you get the logistics yeah. of it in the practical world, yeah. but in the context of the story, it's a pretty colossal fuck-up by the system there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just really just they needed a somewhat plausible excuse to get him back in that house.
Sure.
Because it's the house and the motel are as famous as him.
Yeah.
Yep. So to make any money off this, you need to show that house.
I get it.
The house almost has its own theme song. Every time they cut to a wide shot of the house, they have the violins going. Like, with every time, like, it has this big thing. And actually, that leads me to a question. I always like asking you this question. What do you think of the score?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jerry Goldsmith, he did the score for this one. He also did Alien.
Yeah, I was going to say that rings a bell. Yeah.
Yeah, and all the Star Trek movies, mm-hmm. too.
There was at one point in time, I don't know after which kill it was, the soundtrack started to mimic the tone of the original Friday the 13th.
A little bit.
I don't know which kill it was, though. Was it Mary's mom, or was it someone before that?
It was a bit later, I think, wasn't it? Mm. I can't remember. But I know what you're talking about.
It's funny how the Friday the 13th score is basically a ripoff of the Psycho score, too.
Yeah, so it is. It is.
Come full circle.
It's just, it's like remixed.
Yeah.
You know?
There was a point when Norman goes into his mom's room and it's all made up. Mm-hmm. Like, everything looks as it was. And when the soundtrack comes in, I think it really pulled, at least for me, pulled the audience in and brought back to that time and what he was thinking as he was walking around the room and just seeing, and he just so mesmerized by everything that was there and surprised. And I think the soundtrack really helped to explain and show that, because Perkins is a great actor. Mm-hmm. It was great to see him on screen again, because aside from Psycho, I don't think I've seen him in much else. So it was great to see him again, and especially seeing him walk around and just take all that in. And then the soundtrack to help with that, that really helped. And especially at the end as well, I think the soundtrack was a big help when he was carrying her up the stairs into the room.
Mm-hmm.
Having the soundtrack there really helped.
Yeah. No, I thought I liked that the, again, like, they did hints of like, or is this going to be another rehash? And you were saying mistakenly, like how they weren't using violins as they were playing violins in the score, but they used it differently.
Yeah.
It wasn't just an all string, you know, composition. It wasn't just, you know, rehashing similar, you know, or famous other motifs. It was its own thing.
And since it was the 80s, they had to eventually get some, like, synths in later, too.
Just a little bit.
I was like, oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. I like they kind of made sure, like, the one thing that I did some research about the director is that he actually was taught in class by Hitchcock himself. So he was a Hitchcock student. So I think getting someone who had the respect for the first movie and also had an understanding of, you know, how to tell a Hitchcockian suspense movie. Because the one thing, I think the kills, all the slasher kills, is the only time this movie becomes a horror movie. Because I think everything else plays it up like a psychological mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not once scared. You're only just tense up because you know about the first movie, what Norman has done. Yeah. And you're just kind of walking in eggshells. Is something going to happen? Is he actually going to snap? What's going to happen? It's whenever it cuts to a kill, it becomes less suspenseful and be kind of like, oh, yeah, we expect someone to kill. Okay, but I want to move on with the story. I want to know if it's enormous.
It's all about the tension. Mm-hmm.
So the kills, to me, were the only times the movies, I think, stopped getting a little interesting. It's what, kind of like you're expecting them to die. Mm-hmm. That's what you expect to have a sequel, to see a body count.
Psycho 2.
Well, it's like someone's going to die.
To me, like the kills, like almost all the characters who did die until the very, very end had really, you know, you had the manager guy at the motel. That made sense.
Yeah, you just kind of knew. Like those movies, that guy's dead.
The two
dead.
Kids was kind of forced at the, like, oh, just these two kids who went down. They stumble upon.
That's my least favorite part.
That's the worst death in the whole movie. But then everything else, you know, with every other kill made sense.
I'll say, though, the one part where it did feel a little bit like it, you know, it was less a means to an end, like an expectation. The one that I did like was the end with where she's stabbing Norman. Mm-hmm. And that to me, that I was engaged in with that. I was enjoying watching that because I was like, holy, like, damn, she's just like stabbing him in all these different places. Like, I actually felt it a lot more than I did any other kill prior to that. So, like, you know, it wasn't all of them. Like, it was all the ones prior to that because it was more the mystery of like who done it.
Yeah.
But that one where you actually seeing both faces was kind of, it made it a lot more interesting. You knew who both characters were. It made the stabbing matter more, right?
Yeah. And actually, the one kill before that with the psychiatrist. He falls off the stairs.
Oh, that was great.
Lands on the railing and it penetrates him more.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, like, even though the kills, it's like, yeah, you're just going to kill someone. For what they did for each kill was pretty awesome. Like I said, the only one, well, that was awesome. Yeah. And that psychiatrist one, the only one that I wasn't big on, and like I said, it's my least favorite part of the movie, was the teenagers going in the basement to have sex. You know they're going to die.
Yeah.
And then the way that they did the death, too, I didn't like, because it was like, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, but every time he would stab, you'd have a piece of food hit the floor.
Yeah.
Stab, piece of food. Stab, piece of food. They do it. He does it like four times, and it's like that beat. It's like, oh wow, it just focuses on food hitting the floor, and it was so weird.
Yeah, and then the girl's like half-hearted sprint out of there. Yeah. After.
Like... Well, that I bought because she's like stoned, but it's still like, but it's still like, yeah, it's
maybe
yeah.
That's all why women are like all the cliches in the old horror films that they keep falling because they're stoned or they're on drugs.
Sure.
You know, yeah.
I mean, it is hard to focus, even though you're like adrenaline is pumping. It's still kind of like your bloodstream's filled with something, right? So.
With weed and mushrooms.
It's a very Christian judgment. No, no littering, no sex, no drugs,
yes.
No breaking into people's houses. So, of course, the guy died.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I understand why they died. It's just the way, you know. But, yeah.
So, yeah. But do you think, because some of the gore, like, you can kind of tell certain, like, how do you think the gore overall, like, held up?
Well, it wasn't very gory, but I didn't think it was super fake or anything. I thought it was, like, actually really good.
Really? Yeah. I thought the blood was way too pink toned, especially in the toilet scene.
Okay, that one I'll give you. It was. It was a little too pink.
Mm-hmm.
That's another
parallel with the first one is the prominence of a toilet.
That's right, yeah. The for those who don't know, the first movie, Psycho, is the first movie to ever show a toilet in Hollywood films.
Yep.
and actually be used.
I was going to say, did it ever get used?
Yeah, that's the thing. Was the first time you ever, because they kept them out because it was, you know, obscene.
It's wasteful.
I didn't know any of that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, the writer actually wrote it. He actually asked Hitchcock, can I please write the toilet into this movie? Because it's never been in one before, and I think that's just stupid. And I think he also wrote it in to kind of... I think he also wrote it in because as a way to for the censors to be distracted over something else than the way worse things. Like the use of the words transvestite and some of the kills.
Oh, yeah.
Those were like no-nos, but you feel like, well, maybe if they're too distracted by the toilet, they'll let these ones slide.
That's great.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Like, censors are so, like, the ratings boards are so caught up on such stupid shit some of the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, like, it's like they ignore all this violence and whatnot. Nowadays, they're like, yeah, but that pubic hair, man.
It's the whole
pubic hair.
It's the whole Christian mentality again.
Think
it's
of the children.
Yeah, right? Yeah, like, crush his head, whatever, but, like, come on, man, you showed a clit, so a little fucked up. Yeah. Like, you showed a second of it.
There's a little bit of blood. Can't have any blood. Can't have no blood.
Yeah, like, fuck, dude. Like, just, like, they get so caught up, so I think that's hilarious, because that's pretty absurd.
And only one F word, too. I mean, you know, where you're getting that R.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I know, like, Riley, you're the least hot on this movie, but what are, you were making a claim, like, I don't hate this movie, but I'm curious, what are some of the things that you did like?
Well, like I said, I did mention the performances, especially Anthony Perkins, the colors, the shots. And I mean, and I did like that it kept you guessing. I mean, like Andrew was saying, it plays with your expectations. Like, it teases, like, it might go down the path of the first one and then does something different, which, I mean, I absolutely appreciate something different, but it's like, don't fucking waste my time with teasing me with what you're not gonna do. Like, just get to the point.
Honestly, it's more or less that you kind of, you knew that they were fucking with you.
I just felt it was bloated, it was dragged, it got sloppy. I felt like if they'd cut it down to and focused more on what they were trying to do and less, not song and dance per se, but that's kind of how I interpreted it.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I think this movie could have been trimmed by about 10-15 minutes. I think at some points it does drag a little bit.
I mean, I didn't feel the length personally, but like I said, the only part I would cut is that basement scene, because that feels added in.
Well, that's
about it.
That whole scene feels like a studio mandate. We need someone to die.
We need someone fucking
right, or attempting to. It's like that in Psycho. In Scream, the principal's death.
Yeah,
that was added in because the producer was reading through it, and he's just like, there's not been a kill for 30 pages. Add one in.
Yeah.
There's one more thing I think you could cut. Because basically, I didn't feel the length either. But but then again, I think, you could have cut a little bit off. The other scene that I would point to would be the in the sheriff's office, like afterwards, where they're letting him go. That you could have cut a bunch off of that. Because there's that whole point, again, I kind of had some flashbacks to the first one where he's like just explaining like, oh yeah, she's great. Like, we know that. We could tell, like, you had that shot where she's about to stab him and they shoot her. And it's like, yeah, we get it. You're pinning it all on her. And now they got to explain the whole thing, the whole, like, their perspective. And it's like, we know, we get it.
So,
like,
another
you built
kind
that.
Of force dumbing down denouement.
Yeah, force exposition for a dumb audience. Like, it didn't need to be there, because the film should respect the audience more than that, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could have had some of that scene, sure, because you have to maybe establish that, hey, we're letting Norman go. Or whatever, or he came in, he's going back, whatever. Maybe, but that could have just been a throwaway shot.
Yeah, it could have been like half as long, a third as long.
You didn't need to drag it out. Yeah,
it's more trimming things. Like, certain scenes would hang on for like a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stuff where they're both in the bedroom together and he's holding a knife and all that. Like, just, you could have trimmed that by 20 seconds. You could have trimmed this scene by 20 seconds.
Just a bit more editing.
A little bit more of a touch-up, like a tune-up.
Sure.
You know, just a little bit more like that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, though, you can make that argument with most films.
I think it's a lot
of movies you can say, oh, you can trim this.
Yeah, but I think this one, it does show a little bit, but I don't think it hinders the movie in terms of, like, your enjoyment and the pacing and the scenes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As the ones we have mentioned, I'm kind of with you guys. Those are the ones, that one kill with the two teens.
Yeah, it's the only thing
I got. It was just a way to kind of, again, show Norman, and as a way to kind of, you know.
We really just needed a way to get the cops involved at that point. Yeah. Because yeah. nobody knew that the Toomey guy was missing. Nobody had realized it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so to kind of get things kickstarted in motion, they needed this kind of
yeah.
lame, disposable character.
Yeah, but you could have had the cops come by when they couldn't find that manager.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying they did the right element. I'm describing the element that it served in the story, but I agree. They could have handled it a lot better and just cut that out entirely. Because yeah. other than kicking that into motion, it didn't serve any purpose. Like, they barely even referred back to it at all.
And also,
and they never found the kid's body either. So, like, it was kind of like true. No point of it happening.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the one body they never found.
Yep.
Yeah, and they kind of just, like, her, like, you never see her again, you, like, they never mm-hmm. say anything about it. Yeah, like, it was weird. They kind of let it go.
Yeah, it just felt, like, really yeah. tacked on. Like, yeah, it probably was yeah. filmed after the fact.
Honestly, it feels like it, like, that's, like, because the trimming and stuff that you were saying, like, I personally don't agree. I didn't have any of those feelings.
It seems like a nitpick,
but that, yeah, but that one scene definitely feels like you were saying, like, oh, maybe we need a reshoot, where someone was like, I don't know, I think we need another kill, kind of like the screen yeah. thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right, they don't find the kid and stuff, they never even address it, or I mean they do when they come right after, but it's all clean, looks under the table, done, let's go.
Well, again, my biggest nitpick, so.
I mean, like, perhaps forensic science wasn't at its apex in 1983, but
it was good enough.
Trust me, it was far better than that in 83.
I can
under a table.
Yeah. I would hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Alex, is there anything that stood out that you weren't too hot on or anything like that? Because we've mostly heard what you've liked about it.
The ADR. I think there was too much ADR, and I don't understand why. I mean, when you set up a shot, you're setting up the sound too, so you should be able, the sound guy should be able to tell who sounds good, who doesn't. Do we need a different mic? Do we need to lapel mic or something?
Yeah.
Because I think at points during the film, I was taken out of being entertained and being in the film because of that ADR.
Mm-hmm.
Because the actors were able to match up what they were saying on the screen with ADR. But still, you can hear, when you train yourself to hear it, you can hear ADR.
Yeah, yeah. You can hear the audio change, and you can hear just...
You can hear the ring.
The mouth just doesn't match even quite. Like, I noticed once or twice that happened as well, that it was like, it's a little off, I think.
I was actually thrown off by that one, because I got the, this was an HD version, I have the DVD of it, and I was like, I kind of want to watch the HD version of it. But I was watching it, I was just kind of like,
it's a little off.
It seemed a little off, but then I watched the DVD one and I couldn't tell a difference.
Oh, weird.
I really couldn't tell the difference, so I was just kind of like, maybe that's just what it is.
Maybe they made the sound too good, so you can tell the difference.
Yeah,
now.
But it, even in, like, too much enhancement. Even like, is it a little off sync? Yeah, I couldn't tell. But no, it was just, I think it's just around that time where they were really doing like full ADR at that time, but they haven't, you know. With lower budget films, they can't really mix it too well. Because even like you look films like at Star Wars, there's sometimes you can hear the audio completely change.
Yep.
Yep.
The reverb is completely off. Everything is different. I'll give you that. That was sometimes you can kind of tell.
I mean, I watch a lot of Italian horror movies, though. So,
you're used to it.
You know, I didn't really mind it, but I did notice it. And a big one was towards the beginning, actually,
yes.
with Mary.
Yes, with Mary. I noticed that, too.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, it's a little
off. When
they're
outside and they're talking.
Yeah. But it was a little off.
But he looked perfect, and then she wasn't.
Yikes.
It was like, certain technical things.
It could have been, like, wind. It could have been, I don't know, something crazy, but, like.
Yeah, it could
have. I'm wondering if it has to play with one of the bigger stories, behind-the-scenes stories with this movie.
Okay.
Is the fact that her and Norman Bates actually hated each other on that set.
Wow.
Because, and they're both kind of not good in this little story, she actually had no idea about the hype around the first one. Because she was not allowed to watch horror films. And so when they were shooting and Norman Bates was getting all this attention, Anthony Perkins, she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why is he getting all this attention? Mm-hmm. What's the big deal?
Oh.
And he heard about that and he was not too happy
to hear
about that.
Okay, I made a living under a rock joke before we started this movie.
Oh, yeah. She was literally under a rock. And,
foreshadowing.
And yeah, they barely...
That should be a sound clip. Foreshadowing.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's great. But yeah, no, they did not get along. I think like he was almost trying to get her fired at some point.
Wow.
It got pretty nasty, so I'm just wondering like if certain things were not delivered well.
Well, I mean, it just sounds like she was super jealous, and that's never good. I mean,
yeah. She had that bratty actress kind of mentality, it sounds like.
That's not good.
Yeah, her career did not really take off.
No.
I think she eventually moved to, I think actually Vancouver Island to do community theater.
Oh, okay.
Like, no joke. And then...
Yeah, her sister definitely had a bigger career.
I think even close. I'm just trying to think of, there was one other movie that she was in that's like...
Yeah, I feel like I recognized her.
I think it's a Brat Pack movie, I think. I think it's a Brat Pack movie. Like,
I can't remember.
St. Elmo's Fire or something like
I've
that.
I've seen that.
Well, then you would know if she's in that.
But I can't remember. I saw it once, but I recognize her from somewhere. I was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else did you like? What other things did you like about? What'd you all think of the last scene of the whole movie? Because actually, that's my favorite scene in the whole movie.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I thought the whole real mother thing was just being introduced as another layer of Norman's psychosis, and then they kind of just drop that on you in the last scene. It's like, that was a thing all along.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like, I don't know. It's like, I don't dislike it. I feel like, I wish there was a little bit more time to kind of let the complexities of the implications resonate a little bit more before... kind of within the scene before like Norman axes her. And also when she had the teacup, I just assumed that it would be poison tea again, and then he just like comes up with a shovel, like, okay,
yeah, kind of overkill,
subtle, which poetic
is, yeah, no, the shovel, that's what makes it the best scene.
That was pretty,
because for one, you don't expect that. You're again, the whole movie plays against all your expectations, what you think is how they're gonna die, what you think is gonna happen. You think with the tea, and he even looks up like, yeah, the tea.
Yeah, because once he drinks the tea, he kind of relaxes, and it's like, okay, okay, it's going to end now. Mm. And then he just walks up, and then he picks up the shovel. I'm like, oh, fuck, no. And he just clocks over the head with it. I'm like, all right, I guess that's how we're doing this.
And I love the shot though. Just they, it's one of the few, like,
it's a cool shot.
I did like the last shot though, like hovering directly above the stairwall. Like, that looked cool. Really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That just takes you right back to the first film.
Like, yeah, and it's funny, that is the only person Norman Bates kills in that entire movie.
Yep.
Yes, that's right.
He's the that's the only time he.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's almost like a blink and you miss it reveal that like this person not only is a real mother, but she's the mystery person who's been killing all these people.
But what's funny when you
all
watch
along, but like that doesn't get any chance to sink in before it just like.
It so you wanted a little more time, I guess.
It is supposed to be like a.
I get it. It's like a surprise ending. It's almost like a little like epilogue with a little twist ending mixed in. So I get it. Shyamalan. It needs to be you don't want to drag it out too much. You want to have it paced fairly quickly, but. I feel like there would have been room for another breath or two in there.
I'll give a little slight spoiler into Psycho 3. A lot of this is addressed in Psycho 3.
Really?
Yes, the whole thing with all this. I won't go into detail, but it is addressed. All the answers you're kind of wanting, it is answered in Psycho 3 a bit more into detail. So, but because the third movie came out only like 2-3 years later, so it was kind of thinking, you know, how can we milk this like all horror franchise? How can we make a sequel out of this? Mm-hmm. The movie ends like you want to see the next one because now he's running the motel again.
It's back on his mantle.
It's back. Like, it's it's everything's great. Back to how would have been.
Yeah, I don't know.
Back in the saddle again.
I don't know, man. Because like I kind of prefer if they went the other route. What you were saying earlier, right? I would have preferred if they had maybe gone into, hey, he's trying to get... It's been so long since then, he's trying to get better. Like, not just, hey, back to square one, like the end of the end of an episode of The Simpsons or something. Like, we're just we're hitting the reset button, it feels like. Which is like, you know, it didn't bother me that much, but at the same time I thought it would have been more compelling if they had just gone down the route of like they could have still had the whole mother thing, like, oh, that's for real, that's an interesting addition, but to have him just like murder her and be like, I'm back to like being the exact same way before, like, I would have preferred if maybe they had followed that.
You can't make money off that, though.
I mean, know
you can't. if the regular guy and all these fake moms keep coming in.
That's exactly the,
like,
the
we're point, getting into though. Soap opera territory. Yeah.
Days of Our Lives, like the horror version.
That's kind of the point, though, is that it feels like a studio element. It feels like, hey, we want to leave it open for another sequel. Yeah. It just feels a little, where, for me, it felt a little cheaper. However, though, I still kind of liked, I still really liked the ending, to be honest.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I love that they still brought in, like, hey, no, he actually, this is his real mother. I thought it was pretty sudden, where he just like kills her, but then I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense. It was like all of that I liked a lot. It was the part where he brings her back up and he's like doing the voice again. I'm like, okay, we're just hitting the reset button. That was a little where I was like, fine.
Yeah.
Honestly, that part might have affected me a little bit more, but honestly, the flashback scenes at the beginning were so goofy that, like, these ones, the ending ones were tame by comparison, so maybe I was able to stomach them a little bit more in that sense.
But I think Alex also kind of hit a good point, too, about that, if we're going back to the opening flashback, because that seems to get the biggest hate, I think, out of this group so far.
No, I haven't had any problems with it.
With the opening scene at the
shower? No, I never even talked about it. Talked about it, but
I didn't say anything. I didn't mind it because of basically what Alex said, which is what I was going to say, that for people who haven't seen Psycho in a very long time or... you know, who are just kind of jumping into this movie. It is, and the fact that it's kind of revolving around that character who dies because it's the mother and all that, you know, it's kind of cool to kind of start with that and kind of show it. Obviously, though, you can say that, yes, in the courtroom, just starting with that instead, they do kind of talk about it and things like that, and you could start with that, but it's also kind of a nice, warm feeling to kind of have a scene from the original film to kind of warm you up to it. And also, it wasn't as dreadfully long as, say, like one of the Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. No, those
flashbacks that go on for what feels like an hour.
Yeah.
Like,
I agreed with, like, when I talked about it earlier, I'd agreed with Jack, like, oh, it does feel kind of like a previously on. But I didn't say, like, whether I liked it or not. But, personally, I thought it was fine. Like, it makes sense. Like, because this was, you know, 23 years later.
Yeah.
You know, the culture with YouTube culture that we have now, where we just see all these bite-sized clips from all these classic films, anything in pop culture, right? You'll always see it, like, in a video mentioned somewhere. We consume so much content, but back in the 80s, it's like, well, you watched films, you went to a theater to watch films, or you know, you it wasn't as readily available. You didn't have a YouTube or anything like that. So you were seeing this stuff less. You weren't seeing that shower sequence as much as I'd say a person now sees it.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel like watching it now, yeah, you could have that because, God, like, I had never saw the first Psycho movie before. Like, before I'd seen it the first time, of course I'd seen that shower scene because it was like, it was in reference. Whenever somebody made a YouTube video and uploaded it, they were talking about classic horror or something. It was always in there, you know, whenever they were showing like a sizzle reel, it was in there, right?
Yeah.
And you'd heard the score before, but back in 83, 23 years later, audiences going back to see this, they probably haven't seen that sequence unless they watched it, you know, multiple times or in the lead up to that. They probably haven't seen it in a decent amount of time. So it probably has less of that impact on the audience back then as it does... for us now.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I will say, though, that going over some of the critic reviews at the time, that was actually one thing they kept bringing up. A lot of them were criticizing them planting the opening scene. It wasn't just you know, few things. No, it was like a universal, like, yeah, that wasn't necessary.
It's not necessary.
It was totally inoffensive for me, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I think my biggest problem with it, and it was going off of what Ryan was saying earlier, was that I feel like because they showed that at the beginning of the movie, it does kind of make you feel like, oh, maybe they are going to go down this route, and it does kind of cheapen, as I say, certain recalls to other scenes and all that. So I feel like it does kind of put you in that kind of skeptical attitude where is this what's going to be? Where I feel like if they just kind of started up from the front with the house and go to the courtroom, it would have kept you going like this the entire time instead of going like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I feel about it too. Is I just feel like the kind of the two openings idea. I just felt like it was redundant. That was my big problem with it. It was a smidge obnoxious. And what else was I going to say? Oh yeah, Alex's point about the tonal dissonance of the reintroduction of the shower scene not really matching anything else in the movie tone wise. That I just don't feel like it fit. And I mean, I can appreciate your point, Andrew. I probably didn't really think of that because it's so easy to take it for granted that the access to media and video and all that jazz that we have today. But and so yeah, I can appreciate what you're saying, but I still feel like it just didn't quite gel.
Yeah, like to think about it now, like if, for instance, like I've been bugging Zach for I don't know over 5 years to watch Citizen Kane. He knows. He knew exactly where I was gonna go. I didn't need to say anything. To watch Citizen Kane.
And I don't know it's my fault how he can just not watch it one night.
No, this is a running joke. He has this great set.
I do.
Beautiful Citizen Kane set that he apparently just has for decoration.
Anniversary,
for decoration. Yeah. It's for decoration.
It's for your torment.
It's to say, oh, I watch film, so here's Citizen Kane. Right? So every time it's there, I'm like, man, I got to see it. The Reputation, right? It's up there with like a Psycho, a Godfather. Yeah. It's seminal. So I'm like, yeah, I gotta watch it. And I always say to Zach, and he goes, he always brings up another film. He's like, oh, we can watch this instead.
It's one of my favorite movies, too.
Watch it. He never wants to watch it. So,
yeah, well, it's because you want to watch it.
And I'm like, and I brought it up multiple times. I've given up now, and I'm going to watch it myself. But
no, you should watch it with me, man. Come on. I have it.
Do you have it on Blu-ray?
I should, honestly.
I don't have it on
Blu-ray.
Because
it's
not like I'm ever going to watch it with Zach. So.
Exactly.
It's gorgeous.
And it's one of my favorite movies, too.
Well, here's the thing.
It's
so
such a beautiful movie in general.
Yes. And Blu-ray, it's
you
like
Citizen Kane, Alex?
I probably saw it once back in film school, and it was pretty good. And of course, like most people, I only remember Rosebud.
Yeah, so I was, to bring it back, that's what I was going to mention. Like, that's all I know about Citizen Kane because of this, like, sizzle reel effect or this pop culture, like, Simpsons, right?
Yeah.
And things like that. Oh. It's like, dude, I know Rosebud. I've seen that scene. And I found out that's the end of the movie, and I'm like, oh, well, whatever. I still don't know the
context. You don't know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'll see it eventually, but, like, that's the that's that movie sequence. Psycho, that's that sequence, the shower scene sequence. I've seen them so many times because you just keep seeing that shit, especially now.
They're part of the popular culture.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The more video I consume, the more I watch, especially online, the more I see that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, we're just about the end of our show now. Mm-hmm. So let's do a quick roundup, just kind of closing thoughts. I'm going to start with Alex this time. Just kind of give us your closing thoughts and anything else you wanted to add.
Thank you very much. You should see this film, dear listener. See the first one, of course, but definitely see the second one. Just because, for me, it messed with me. Probably about halfway through, I want to say, whenever the scene where Mary and her mom are talking in the hotel office, that's, for me, where it really got good, and I'm glad I sat through it up to that point. Because it's like a roller coaster. When you're on a roller coaster, it starts climbing slowly up the hill. And that's where the film got to, right up to the point where Mary and her mother are in the hotel office. That's when the roller coaster reached the top. And then once the killing started, that's when the roller coaster started going down the hill. And that's where it really picked up with the pace. And the last shot in the film, I want to answer your question because you had asked everyone. It's an overhead shot. And that's a good 30 seconds, maybe a minute long, that shot, that static overhead shot. You see shots like that throughout the film. The courtroom in the beginning, you see it in Norman's kitchen, you see it a few other times, and then you see it at the end. So that overhead shot, when you see it in the beginning, that's almost like foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. Because the end of the first Psycho, it's a very unsettling feeling that the audience is left with. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the second film, Psycho 2, it's the same thing. Because when Norman is taking the coal and he's shoveling it into the furnace, he takes the shovel upstairs with him instead of leaving it downstairs in the basement. I thought, why is he doing that? And then when he's in the kitchen with his real mother and he picks up the shovel, all of a sudden it makes sense. That's why it's there. And then when he hits her with that shovel at that very instant, think of that shovel hit as the last note from a piano, that low note to end the song where it just reverberates for a good 30 seconds. The shovel hit is like that. And you keep hearing that shovel hit the whole time he's carrying his mom up the stairs into the room. And then the hit, the sound will slowly fade away. And you're left with that unease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think, what you want out of this film.
Yeah. No, it was really interesting how, like, you know, all the kills were traditional, like a slasher with a knife kills. Yeah. And, you know, some were effective, some were not. But, yeah, just a simple, just clubbing with a shovel is the most effective. And it was cool just, like, how you see him, you see the hit. You're like, obviously, the type of, you know, a rubber shovel and all that.
Mm.
But you don't see that too often where they hold on to it and you feel that impact.
Yeah.
And that sound, yeah, it just lets it ring out. Just like, poof! And you're just like, no music, no cues. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes silent.
Mm-hmm.
And then it picks up with him whistling at the end. You're just kind of like, oh my God.
It's like, oh.
This is crazy. And you're just like, holy shit. Because, yeah, it comes out of nowhere. But it's such a great payoff, that ending. It just, I love seeing people's reaction when it was one of my favorite things, showing people the movie. It was like waiting till that moment. It's like when that hits, you're just like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Andrew, final thoughts?
Yeah, so I think if you've seen the original Psycho, you probably owe it to yourself to go see this, just because it's not at all what you would expect. It's something I feel like you should see, because if you appreciated that first film, you'll probably appreciate this too, because it's you know, how it relates and everything, and how it does go a different direction. I think it's worth seeing. It's for sure underrated. I think you should take some time out to go see it, find it somewhere.
Cool. Is that cool?
Psycho 2 Electric Boogaloo. It's a good movie. I think you should definitely go see it. See it twice, even, like I did, you know. I think it's kind of cool even seeing it second time around, to kind of see how all the wheels, you know, the workhouse kind of,
especially with how the movie ends, and you see little hints here and there, especially with the very ending, watching it again when you see the Mrs. Spool character.
Mm-hmm.
Now knowing, you kind of see little hints here and there, little shots, and you go, oh, okay. So it wasn't like it was like a last minute thrown in twist. It was sort of building up towards it. It was just everything else around it was more in the forefront, and it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is definitely one of the better, like, horror sequels, especially one to follow up the first one directly. You know, you have a lot of films like Halloween 2 that are good, but clearly there's problems, right? I mean, that one with the second half, right? It's like, okay, it kind of goes off the rails and it just turns into a typical, like, you know, lazy horror movie, right? Whereas this actually is kind of smart, and I think it does something very interesting as an interesting premise, and it's kind of cool also kind of hanging with the bad guy, who all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of a good guy really throughout most of the movie, and he's trying to get better, and he's like trying to fight it, and you really feel that, and, you know, you really like the character Mary too, who's trying to help him, you know, and things like that, and it just becomes very grounded and, you know, very interesting, right? So I think it's a very interesting premise, with a lot of sexy stuff in it, and I think you should see Psycho 2 Electric Boogaloo as soon as you can.
So it's underrated in your eyes?
I'd say it's very underrated, because no one talks about Psycho 2, even as much as, like, Halloween 2 or something, right?
Because
Everybody's like, Halloween 2, it's got that crazy opening and stuff. It's right after the first one, and all that, and it's like this one, I mean, it's like buried, like you never hear anybody talk about this. This is
probably the most underrated film we've seen so far, just because it's a sequel to a classic, so it's buried, like the expectation, like I said, coming in for me, like, you just don't think anything of it. It's immediately a throwaway in your mind just because of the name.
Yeah, Psycho 2.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Why?
Yeah.
Why
would Whereas you all think? The other ones everybody's brought forward so far, it's been like, oh, okay. Like, you don't know what to expect from it or whatever, but, like, you immediately had thoughts in your head when you heard Psycho 2, like, oh, what? Unless you'd seen it.
Yeah.
But, like, you didn't know what to expect. So I think this is for sure one where it's underrated, like, probably the most underrated, just because... at least for the majority of us, we really have enjoyed it, and it immediately has that dismiss, like, you'll immediately dismiss it if you don't watch it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's that kind of movie. So yeah, the over under kind of thing, quality versus expectation, is huge. That gap is huge as opposed to the other movies we've seen.
For sure. Mm. And lastly, I know you weren't too high on Ryan, but I'll give you your final thoughts.
Yeah, I think I've rambled on enough, really. This movie has some pros, it has some cons. I'm in the minority, in my opinion, for a lot of the cons, but I'm known to have curmudgeonly views on certain movies, so I guess do go see it and take from it what you will. I suppose in the grand scheme of things and in the scope of horror especially, this is an underrated film. Personally, for me, though, I feel like knowing now how it unravels, the rewatch value would be very low for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, who knows? I live with you, and you're a huge Psycho nerd. So,
yeah, I love the first movie.
Well, so, yeah. I mean, I'm sure I'll be seeing it again at some point in my life, and maybe I'll change my mind. But, I mean, yeah, like, I'm not trying to shit on this movie entirely. It did have a lot of really great elements, and I'm sure a lot of you will enjoy it and get something out of it if you were to go and watch it. And at the end of the day, the fact remains that this movie was still better than it had any right to be. Mm-hmm. So I can be happy with that.
Yep, and thank you. And yeah, I'll just give my quick final thoughts to pretty much what Ryland just said there. It was better than it had any right to be. How big and, you know, culturally significant the original was. It's crazy just how engaging this movie is. It keeps the mystery, keeps it interesting, intriguing. It adds a lot more depth into the character of Norman Bates. It makes you want to watch the other sequels. And yeah, I just, for someone like myself who I adore the original one, to me it's one of the, you know, one of those few movies that I have that's almost too perfect for me.
It's one that you go psycho over.
I go crazy for that shit. You've been waiting to say that all for like 5 minutes. I could just
hear Andrew cringing right now.
Yeah. But anyways, so that was Psycho 2.
Go see Psycho 2. Yeah. Go see Evil Dead 2. Go see Boo 2.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just don't go see the remake of Psycho. Avoid that at all times.
Oh, I can't wait Jack.
for the Madea Boo remake.
Oh, geez.
I'm excited for that.
Oh boy.
Yay.
Anyways, so next week we have you, Zach.
Yeah, we do have me. I'm still deciding between a bunch because I'm a horror fanatic, and it's like, I mean, I'm, you know, near Halloween when we're doing our episodes, so I got to pick something good.
You're too much in your element.
You have a massive catalog to pick
That's
from.
My problem, right? I have a lot of movies to pick from. The one I'm thinking, it might not be, like, horror. It might be more Halloween-y.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Tell our listening audience, how many movies do you own, Zach?
Oh, God. Like 1,300?
1,300. And these are physical copies.
Yeah, not digital. Well, all physical.
Yes. Now, see, I own about a respectable 600.
Yeah, very respectable.
So we are all intrigued to see what we're gonna be watching next week, Zach. But until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and hope you have a lovely evening. Ciao.